Alrighty, hello everybody, hope you're doing well. Sorry it's been so long since I posted. So a few years ago, on Rehab Room's old YouTube channel, he did a video about this guy, this 27-year-old dude from the UK, who, I believe he had Asperger's and Tourette's, okay? But the guy was very good looking, right? He was like a 7 or an 8 out of 10. And he had only had like a few dates his entire life. It had been a year since he had been on a single date. Anyway, so the producers of this show, this like, I forget what it was. I think it was a show called The Undateables. He went on a show where the fact that he had Asperger's and Tourette's, which made him undateable, was kind of like his story. The producers of the show set him up with this young woman. And she found him really attractive. She, you know, they made eye contact and everything. And the guy was good looking. He was like a 7 or an 8 out of 10. And the point that Rehab Room was trying to make in his video is that this proves that confidence means nothing. Because here's a guy who's super shy, yet when he does finally go on a date, women like him anyway. And thus, it's purely about looks, okay? That attraction is purely about looks. You know, we used to make fun of the blue-pilled guys back in the day, you know, back in the black pill days. We used to make fun of the just be confident meme.
There's no vast Stacey conspiracy holding you back. Even ugly guys can score. It's about confidence.
No, attraction is not about confidence. You can have as much confidence as you want. And women aren't going to find you attractive if they're not already attracted to you in some sort of way, or if you don't have the raw materials to build attraction. That is all true to a certain extent, to a certain extent. However, I think we may have thrown the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. In today's video, and I'm not coming at this with any single agenda to prove anything, I just think that maybe we were too quick to dismiss confidence, okay? Going back to that guy, that 27-year-old football player, okay, so he went on a date and a woman found him attractive, in spite of the fact that he has Asperger's because he was good-looking. However, it's stated in the Undateables episode that he's only ever been in one relationship, and they didn't say it directly, but the implication is that he has a body count of 0. You know, he hasn't been with any girls really. All right, here's a guy who's good looking enough to get with a different girl every weekend if he wanted to. You know, here's a guy who's in his 20s, who's like a, at the very least, like a Chad Light, as we used to say. And he's only ever had one relationship. They said he hadn't been on a date in over a year. So, you know, here's a guy who's getting no play because he's shy. So, yes, okay, you will luck out occasionally if you're good-looking and super nervous. You'll occasionally get attention anyway. But I don't think that it's optimal to be good-looking and shy, let alone to be average-looking and shy, let alone to be sub-5 and shy. You know, I can't think of any scenario where being awkward, shy, and having no confidence is equal or better to having confidence, no matter who you are, no matter what your looks level, no matter what the context, so long as you're a man, I can't think of any scenario where not having confidence is going to help you. Now, this might be kind of a dumb metaphor, but I was thinking, like, what is the role of confidence in attraction, right? And I'm not just talking about attraction in this video, I'm talking about in general. I think it's good to be confident, but just sticking to the topic of attraction for just a second. You know, I was thinking, what is the best metaphor for what confidence is? And I thought of it a bit like electricity. Okay, again, this is maybe a dumb metaphor, but here it is. So to light up an entire city, you want to have infrastructure. Specifically, you want to have an electrical grid. Broadly speaking, you want to have proper infrastructure in place as to prevent blackouts and brownouts and all that sort of stuff. You want to have a robust electrical system, a grid, to light up the city, right? However, if the power goes out for any reason, it's good to have a backup generator, one of those old, like, dodgy generators that are out the back that can light up individual apartment buildings and houses in the event of a blackout, okay? Like, you know, especially if you live out on, like, the fringes of the city, it's always good to have a backup generator just in case. A lot of old homesteads have them, that sort of a thing. Okay, to me, this is what good looks to confidence is. Good looks is the grid, okay? It's the infrastructure. Ideally to light up a city, ideally to light up an individual house, you want to be connected to the grid. But in the event that you don't have access to the power grid, or the grid goes out, aka you're not good looking, or you're no longer good looking, having confidence is like a useful backup generator. And much in the same way that you cannot light up an entire city with a single generator, you cannot compensate for being sub 5 with confidence alone. But in the right context, having a generator is a good thing. Okay, it's a useful thing. In the same way that having confidence in the right context is a good thing. Now, as I drone on about this, there'll be people listening who will say, yes, having confidence is good, but confidence comes from experience. All right, we used to use the metaphor of flying a plane. The ability to fly a plane comes from experience and knowledge that you acquire from having previously done it, right? Like, telling someone who's never had any success to just be confident is like telling someone who's never flown a plane to just fly a plane. Confidence comes from experience. Confidence with women, for example, comes from having had them in the past and knowing what needs to be done to get more of them. However, there are certain things that one can do to not come across as unconfident. And what I'm saying, basically, it's kind of like sales, right? You know, I used to work in sales, and what they used to teach us to do is to assume the sale. When you call up a client, you don't tentatively call them and, like, you know, would you like to buy 20 boxes of our product today, sir? You know, you don't speak like that. All right, you call the client and you're like, hi, I've got 20 boxes of this product that I know you're going to buy. I know you're going to like it. So what's your mailing address? I'll get those 20 boxes sent out this afternoon. And next month, to get another 20 boxes, just give us a call and we'll get 20 more sent out to you, okay? So what's your mailing address? And they're like, what? Who are you? You cold-called me. But yeah, that's the attitude that we had, and that was the most effective because it was all a numbers game, right? Like, if I had just been hung up on by my previous 5 clients that I'd rung, the 6th guy that I call, I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been selling boxes all day because obviously everyone wants to buy our product. So what's your mailing address? You know, you call up and you assume the sale. And what a lot of people do, what a lot of guys do, is they do this weird insecurity thing when they're texting or meeting women. They're like, hey, you know, just let me know if I'm being annoying. Or what they'll do is they'll follow red pill pickup advice, which, you know, some of it works, some of it doesn't. The part of, like, the red pill, you know, social dynamics thing that never worked for me is creating this, like, scarcity thing where if a woman texts you, you should leave her on red for one day. So it gives you this kind of aura of being aloof. Like, that never worked for me. Like, honestly, just let it go. Okay, don't worry about the fact that people find you annoying. Don't worry about the fact that you might have overstayed your welcome. You know what? Overstay your welcome. It's fine. Let's say you're at work, right? And there's this new boss that you're trying to get on their good side, but every time you have an interaction, you just always happen to say the wrong thing. Kind of like that subplot in The Office where Jim has the boss. I think his name is Charles Minor, and he keeps, just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Yet if you ever find yourself in a situation like that, in any context, just let it go, laugh it off. Don't worry that you got off to the wrong start with somebody. You know, just don't ruminate over negative social interactions you had. Okay, if you got yourself into a really cringy scenario, you know, like, one time I went up to a girl at a club back in Auckland and I just totally just blew it. I came across as super cringy, super awkward. I literally walked up to her and I tapped her on the shoulder to get her attention. Like, just total cringe. Like, yeah, thinking about it would make me cringe, but I don't think about it. I just let it go. Who cares? You know, laugh it off. It's fine. And while it is true in the context of women that experience begets confidence, there are some things that you can do to build experience, and not just with women, but with anything. You know, I used to be petrified of the idea of being alone in a foreign country where I didn't speak the language. So I traveled to countries where I was alone and didn't speak the language. I started off with the easier places like Bali, and then went to Ho Chi Minh, and then, you know, the more isolated parts of Vietnam, and then Laos. And by the time I arrived in Thailand, which is a foreign-speaking country, I felt like I was in the West because it was so much easier than what I had just been through. But yeah, I think I've made my point here. Step number one is imagine that you are interesting. Believe yourself to be interesting. When you talk to someone in any context, you have to imagine that they care what you have to say. Even if you don't deep down believe this to be the case, you have to imagine that it is the case. Like, I can't stand those Instagram scammers. I'm tempted to do a video on them. Those 22-year-old guys that pop up and tell you that you can escape your 9-to-5 by buying their course on, you know, crypto or whatever, or drop shipping or whatever the case is. But the lesson to be learned is that confidence does work in a certain context, you know. Like the Tony Robbins, the Tai Lopez's of the world, what they usually did was spend their last $200 that they had to their name on a brand new suit. And they would go out with their new suit that they spent the last little bit of money they had. And they would tell people that they are multimillionaires by buying and selling real estate, and that they can teach you to make millions of dollars by buying and selling real estate. And in the end, these confidence tricksters become multimillionaires because they tricked people into believing that they are millionaires, okay? I guess the point that I'm sort of making in all of this video is that I really can't think of any scenario where having confidence is a bad thing, or I can't think of any scenario, at least as a man, where it's in your interest to not be confident. It's better to be shy and awkward as a guy. Like, maybe you could argue as a sub-5, it doesn't matter if you are or aren't confident, but at least for guys in the middle range, the normie tier guys, like, not only is it not a bad thing to be confident as a mid-tier guy, I think you have a lot to gain from being confident if you're average, if, you know, if you're in the middle of the looks kind of range. I think that being confident, it can only help you. Anyway, there is a fine line between talking and yapping, so I think I'll wrap it up here. I think I've made my point for today's video. Like I said, I try and make videos as often as I can, but it's not a problem for ideas, it's a problem for time. So I'll be posting a video when I next have time. There's also been a lot going on, of course, with the US election over the past few weeks. I was tempted to do a video just giving my thoughts on it. Not that people tune into my channel for American political analysis, but yeah, it was really kind of exciting on the day of the election because the American elections take place during the day here due to the time zone. And I'm watching Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and I'm thinking like, no, surely he's not going to do it twice. Surely not. Because I was honestly expecting Kamala to kind of comfortably get around 280, 290. So I was surprised. And yeah, it was an exciting day to watch the election because, you know, I don't have any vested interest in Trump or Kamala winning. But, you know, for so long, it, you know, all of the conversation out of America has been from the left perspective, you know, Palestine, BLM, Me Too. Like, the debate over the sentiency of life is a whole philosophical and legal issue. It shouldn't come down to, like, some straw man that if you're pro-life, then you're anti-women. It just annoys me. You know, if you had asked Kamala during the campaign cycle when she was giving all of her stump speeches, if you said to her, what are you going to do for women? She would have had about 88 stump speeches ready to go. If you had said to her, I wish someone had done this, what are you going to do for men? It would have been Windows 95, you know, the old dial-up modem sound. She would have been like, well, I am going to restore inflation and middle class tech. She would have had any answer. But anyway, I'm getting off topic here. I'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.